I'd like to call you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we continue our series in this great book. And as you can probably tell from the theme throughout this service, it's about suffering today and how we should look at suffering. The suffering that Peter's talking about is specifically dealing with suffering for following Christ, for doing what's right, and being persecuted by a world that hates Jesus and therefore hates us. But we can apply many of the same ideas as we suffer from illnesses and other things that are brought about in our lives that make us wonder about God's goodness and where He is. So let's now turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, which is on page 1016 of your pew Bibles, and we'll begin reading at verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is God's holy word, inspired and inerrant, and our rule for what to believe and how to live. Let's now look to Him together in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for these great words that are so important to remember. We pray that You would help us to understand the implication of those words in our lives and help us to look from Your perspective at the events in our lives as we go through them so we can better understand who You are and how You work in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Apostle Peter, who writes these words, was with Jesus one day when Jesus warned His disciples that He, Jesus, was going to suffer and die for His people. Now, that did not compute with Peter's framework and understanding of who Jesus is and how He works in the world. They were expecting an earthly king who was going to kick butt, take names, and set up his flag over that part of the world and over the whole world. Jesus dying and suffering did not make sense to Peter, so he just disregarded it. So when the time came, when Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, when Jesus told Peter, three times you will deny Me that night, Peter thought, I'm not going to deny you. He wasn't prepared for what was about to happen. And sure enough, three times before the rooster crowed, Peter denied his Lord. Now, Peter was not prepared for Christ's suffering and the suffering that was going to go along with his followers. The Peter we see in Acts is a different man. At this point in Acts, he has been restored. And so in Acts chapter 5, when the Sanhedrin is threatening Peter and threatening to throw him in jail for preaching Christ, Peter's response is not one of fear, but it's, quote, we must obey God rather than men. And so if you need to arrest me, arrest me. Something changed in Peter. Something changed in Peter. And what we believe and what we understand totally affects how we live. Peter's understanding was different by the time Acts 5 rolls around than it was that night that Jesus was betrayed. He had come to understand that the life of our Savior is one of suffering and self-denial. And if that's true for the Lord Jesus, then it's true for us as well. Sometimes we call this the theology of the cross, that it's in our sufferings that we most closely connect with God and His blessings. It's not the glorious days, but it's the days of suffering when we have a true experience of God's goodness and grace in our lives. So if we have this biblical perspective of suffering, then that will help us understand the events that occur in our lives. And so we'll look at this passage in three sections. First, we'll see from that biblical perspective of suffering that suffering is not a glitch in the plan, it is the plan. That's the first point. Second point, suffering is not a curse, it's a blessing. And the third point, suffering is a preview of the final judgment. Suffering gives us some indication of how it's going to go down in the final judgment. So first of all, suffering is not a glitch in the plan, it is the plan. Our society has set up barriers between ourselves and discomfort, a barrier between us and pain, a barrier between us and suffering. And sometimes that is great, because many of us, myself included, would not be alive today if it wasn't for modern medicine. It's one of the great things about living in 21st century America. And for those of you that would still be here if it wasn't for modern medicine, many of you would be in a whole lot more pain than you are right now. Think about the hip replacement surgeries and the knee replacement surgeries and all the heart surgeries that have kept us going for a while. So it's a good thing that our society has modern medicine. It's a wonderful thing when we look at little Savannah and she's about a foot long, and we think this poor child would not have survived 100 years ago. But now with modern medicine and with doctors like Michelle, that thankfully she is surviving and thriving. But there's a downside to this. The downside is our culture now looks at suffering as something that's abnormal. It's something that's not supposed to happen to us. It's something that should not occur in my life. Hard times are something to be avoided at all costs. For Peter, the avoiding of suffering cost him denial of Jesus three times. So our culture creeps into our view of Christianity. And now, if you want to make a lot of money, go write a health and wealth book on the gospel of Jesus. Trust me, you'll make a lot of money that if you become a Christian, just tell them. Things will be healthy and wealthy for you, and then everything will be happy. It'll be very popular. It's just not true. So let's keep our finger here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and turn earlier in the New Testament to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is on page 996 if you have your pew Bible. Keep your finger in 1 Peter 4, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at what the apostle says about suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at how he starts this chapter, and then we'll look at verse 12 in just a moment. But he begins the chapter saying, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. You take this character and you put it in a world with modern comforts, and the product is a culture that is self-indulgent. A character that loves itself more than it loves God, plus the modern comforts of this world, ends in self-indulgence. And now look at verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. All who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. Do you today desire to live a godly life? Because if you do, hang on. It's just a matter of time until the persecution comes. And that's one of the reasons why we take communion each week. Communion is one of the means that God gives us to build our strength, our faith, and to strengthen our faith so that we would have a desire to walk with God in the midst of suffering, even though it means being persecuted. Because the closer we draw to Christ, the more likely we are to respond in a Christ-like way when that suffering comes. All who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. And then Paul adds this extra little piece of information. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When Paul, the apostle, says in Christ Jesus, he's talking about a doctrine that is called union with Christ. We are united with Christ, and everything that is his spiritually belongs to us. Now, keep your finger in 1 Peter 4. I promise we'll get back there in a minute. But turn to John chapter 15, earlier in the New Testament. John chapter 15, that's page 901 of your pew Bibles. John 15, this is one of the classic passages that deal with union with Christ. And this has everything to do with why we suffer and how we can participate in the sufferings of Christ through our own suffering. John chapter 15, look at verse 5. This is Jesus speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is one of the classic passages about union with Christ. We are his. We are connected with his vitally. All he has is ours. And then he goes on to say in verses 18 through 20, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Since we're united to the one that they hate, since we're united to the one they persecute, his path is our path. When Jesus walks through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It should not surprise us then when things don't go our way. He suffered, therefore we suffer. His pattern was humiliation before exaltation. And guess what our pattern is if we're united with him? Humiliation before exaltation. We will be hated unless we act like the world. We'll be hated unless we act like the world. If someone is tired of being persecuted, they'll just jump off and just be like the world, and they'll be received with open arms. But we as Christians are hated if we are different from the world. We as Christians have a different mindset. we have a different worldview. Our worldview is not based on what do we think lately, or let's take the most popular poll that's out there and go by it, but we go by the Bible. The Bible is absolute truth. The postmodern world hates the idea of absolute truth. By postmodern, if you want to know what that idea means, just think of relativism, that there's no absolute truth. What you believe is just as good as what Jesus believes, and what I believe is only as good as what you believe as long as I don't offend you. That's the postmodern world. It hates the idea of absolute truth, so it hates us. We as Christians condemn the gods of this world. What are the gods of this world? Sex, greed, self-indulgence. We condemn those things and pursue one who is greater than all of those, Jesus Christ. We, as Christians, we don't think of ourselves as, boy, it sure is lucky that dust and time, a lot of time and chance, just ends up with people like us on this world. We'll give it 40 billion years and see if it can happen again. No, we believe in a creator, and therefore one who has rights over us. And so that's why we warn our non-Christian friends that if they die outside of faith in Christ, there will be judgment coming and eternal condemnation. They don't like the idea that there's a creator who will stand and judge over them. They think that they are just fine like they are. So with this in our mind, let's go back now to 1 Peter chapter 4, which is page 1016 of your pew Bibles. And look what he says in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening. The strange thing would be if the world loved us. That would be what Paul and Peter and Jesus thought would be strange, that how could we be connected to one like Jesus, whom they hate, and still love us? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be respectable and do things that are admired by people. I'm not saying we should go out there and just stir things up and cause problems. But at some point, our lifestyle is going to clash with what they hold to be true, and it's going to make them very nervous when their lifestyle is challenged by our view of absolute truth. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial. This is a painful thing. A fiery trial, we said it before, stick your hand in the oven this afternoon and just see what it feels like. That's just 400 degrees. Imagine what hell is like. Imagine what fiery trials are like. It's nothing mild or easy. These are very real, painful things that we go through in our lives. So it's not like Peter is just sloughing off people's pain and people's suffering. He's going to die a gruesome death himself. He's going to be crucified just years later after this is written for the sake of his Lord. Fire is normally destructive, but when something as precious as gold is put in a refiner's fire, the impurities go away. And that is how Peter, earlier in this chapter, in this book, described the trials we go through, like being refined by fire. So the fires that destroy things, and when things are burning out of control, like a wildfire, destroys things. When you put something pure in there, like gold, it makes it even more pure and even more valuable. So, suffering, it's not a glitch in the plan. It is the plan if we're united to Christ. The second thing we'll see is suffering is not a curse, but a blessing. Suffering is not a curse, but a blessing. Look at verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 4. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, not cursed. You are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. How do we feel when people insult us? It hurts. We want to fight back. We don't feel blessed at that time. It's almost like if someone said, Welcome to the blessing. You just want to punch them in the throat. Not really. Well, sometimes you do. If someone tries to comfort you in a very inappropriate way, yes, we get angry with them. But it's hard for us to believe as we go through trials and insults and persecution that it is a blessing, not a curse. Again, keep your finger here in Matthew. I know your fingers are going to get tired, but keep it here in 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's flip back earlier in the New Testament to Matthew chapter 5. And that's on page 810 of your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, the first book of the New Testament. And Matthew says, he records the words of Jesus. This is the Sermon on the Mount, a part of the sermon called the Beatitudes. And the way these are written, the normal word order in Greek sentences is done away with here, and they put the word for blessed first in the sentence. That's their way of highlighting it, underlining it, red font, bold face. So what he's saying here is blessed, not cursed. But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's a blessing, not a curse, when we're persecuted for following Christ. It's going to feel like a curse, like, God, why are you doing this to me? I was just doing what I was told to do. No good deed goes unpunished, is often the first thought in my mind when I suffer for doing right. But it's a blessing, not a curse, when persecution comes. And look down at verse 11. Blessed, not cursed, are you, but blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We need to realize that we are united with our Lord Jesus Christ. For him, humiliation came before exaltation. There was a crown only after he suffered the cross. Our problem is we want the crown first. We want the exaltation first. But humiliation comes before exaltation. The cross comes before the crown. That is natural. We get a preview of this. The one that we're connected to has walked this path before us, and he is now in glory. We're connected with him. So the same path that we walk through, he's already walked down. And we will end up in glory as well if we are united to Christ through faith in him for our salvation. Okay, back to 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1016 of your pew Bibles. Peter says, rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Believers who suffer for the sake of righteousness share in Christ's sufferings. We are not going through this alone. He is connected with us, and through his Holy Spirit, he lives and works in us. And we are not alone as we suffer. Therefore, the suffering we go through produces a purified element, a purified result that only a refiner's fire can bring about. So we're to live for the glory of God in the midst of our suffering, not by whining and complaining, not by doing the things that Peter mentions in verse 15, murdering people, taking out our anger on them, or stealing from them, or doing all kinds of evil. That's not how we respond when we suffer, but we respond by glorifying Christ. Look at verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. The world will try to shame us out of living a Christian life. Be prepared for that, but do not be ashamed. Be comforted, knowing that the Lord of glory has been down the same path, and he is in glory now and has prepared a place for us in glory with him. So first, we've seen suffering is not a glitch. It is the plan. Second, we see that suffering is not a curse. It's a blessing. And finally, we see that suffering gives us a preview of how it's going to go down in the final judgment. Look at verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 4. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Okay, we'll do this one more time. Stick your finger at 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll be back in a minute. And turn back to Matthew chapter 10, page 814 of your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 10. This gives us a better understanding of what Peter's coming from. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 22. This is the Lord Jesus. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And look at verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. He's talking about on judgment day where Jesus steps in and said, I died for him. He's not guilty. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do we want Christ's blessings? Then walk with him. Don't do what Peter did the first time. Don't run scared from a little girl who accused him of being with the Savior. Be like Peter in Acts 5, who has learned a biblical view of suffering and trials and said, I want to be with my Lord in heaven, and whatever I might go through on earth is a drop in the bucket compared to the glory that I will have with him in heaven. There's a choice to be made. Either we obey Christ and suffer now and receive glory in heaven, or we deny Christ now and have some comfort, some of the attaboys from the world. But when judgment comes, we will suffer the consequences. Based on the way Peter writes, it looks like many of his readers had chosen to obey Christ. That's why they're suffering. By doing so, they chose Christ over the world. By doing so, they chose persecution over comfort. And that was an indicator that God's blessing was upon them, because unless they had been blessed by God, they would have done the same thing that everyone else in the world does, deny Christ. We hate God until he works in our lives. The fact that they would choose God and suffer is a sign that God had worked sovereignly, savingly in their hearts. Is that true of us? Has God worked in our lives? Do we truly walk with him? Or are we those who are deluding ourselves, fooling ourselves? We can rejoice in the suffering because it's a sign that we belong to Jesus. Do you have that joy? Do you have that comfort? Have you seen in your own actions evidence that you belong to him and he is yours, through the way you've handled persecution? Or have you been like Peter the first time, the night that Jesus was betrayed, and have shown no allegiance to Jesus when it cost something? Remember what Jesus said. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow Jesus. It's not until the dangers come and the persecutions come that the thorny ground hearers reveal themselves as being not legitimate. Only the solid soil that the seed lands on proves to bear fruit when trouble comes. My friends, examine yourselves. Do we truly trust in Christ to the point of being willing to suffer for him? Or do our actions show us that maybe our allegiance to Christ is not as strong as we think it is? Examine yourselves. In a minute, we're going to call the question. For those of you who are not familiar with Robert's Rules, and trust me, you're missing out on a lot of craziness if you are not familiar with Robert's Rules. Calling the question means it's time to step up and vote. It's time to stand up and be counted. Are you with Jesus or are you not? As we take the Lord's Supper, that's a public way of saying, I am with Jesus, no matter what it costs me. Let us now pray and ask for God's blessing as we consider this. Our Father, we thank you for your great love and mercy for us. We pray your blessings on us and help us to rightly examine ourselves and know whether we belong to you or whether we are just kidding ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.